Good morning. Let's begin with the word of prayer to begin this morning our worship together. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are, thankful for the freedom that we have. We do not take it for granted. Freedom to come together, to worship with other friends, to worship and understanding more of your word. We praise you, Heavenly Father, for this privilege. Pray that you'll keep our freedom free in this country, Father. We know that we're freedom in Christ. Freedom in the world gives us the freedom to worship. So, Father, we pray now that you'll use us this morning, guide the speaking, teaching, fellowship, singing, giving, worship together with you, Heavenly Father. We pray these things in Christ's name and for His glory. Amen.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, would you join us? If you happen to have a hymnal nearby, would you join us in hymn number 337? This song is The Solid Rock, 337.
Hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not cross the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ's solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness shines through brightest face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ's solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath is
good morning and welcome everybody. For y'all that are here, thank you for being here. For y'all that are online, thanks for being online and joining with us this morning in the study of the Word of God. I wanted to stop for a second as we sang that song, The Solid Rock. Thank you, Brian, for putting that together. The last verse, when He shall come with trumpet sound, oh may I then in Him be found, dressed in His righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. Christ is our solid rock, and that is absolutely where we need to put our foundation for everything we do in life. So if you did not get a chance to do that, sing that with us, please find an opportunity to look it up on, you can Google it, I'm sure it's out there. We'll take up whether or not they censor it on the way through, but look it up. And thank you. That was a beautiful, beautiful song this morning. Prayer requests this morning. So many awesome things that are happening. So many challenging things that are happening in the world today, but so many awesome things as well. Brian, your mom's cancer treatment went pretty well the other day.
Yes, she is. She's marching on. She's okay. She's She's doing as well, better than I could have expected, yes.
In the battle.
Yes.
In the battle. Okay. Well, we continue to be in prayer for Brian's mom. Let's see. I had a whole bunch of things. Please be in prayer for Pastor Maddox, the continued recovery, which we're just so pleased and excited to have you right now, even doing the opening prayers. That's awesome. And we look forward to you being back behind this pulpit and teaching. Looking forward to that real soon. So we're excited about that. Be in prayer for our country. I don't even know necessarily, y'all, that we need to pray for one side versus the other side winning or who. Right now, the only prayer I have for our country is repentance and revival, because we have turned away from the Lord. Thank you for your email yesterday, I guess it was, Pastor Maddox. Our country is a mess, and the only thing that will solve that mess is the solid rock of Christ. And so until we decide as a country that we are going to repent and turn back to Christ as our foundation, as the solid rock, then we're going to be challenged, and we will be under divine discipline. Sorry, I just got a notice that rain will begin in just a few minutes. It popped up on my... It's not a prayer request. It's just showed up. Notifications, right? Please be in prayer for Kit and Phil and myself as we continue to study and teach. It's been an honor and is an honor to get to do that and stand behind this pulpit and have the opportunity to teach the things that the Spirit is leading us to teach. We were laughing last week. Phil and I were talking that we, honest to goodness, are not coordinating our messages. We're not coordinating our teaching. We're not sitting down and trying, okay, well, you say this and I'll say this, but we just end up coming through and it's like, wow, that's only by the power of the Spirit. So if you missed, the Second Timothy, teaching this morning, please catch up with that, on YouTube. All of this stuff has been recorded and available. So fantastic stuff being taught there by Phil. Praise report. So Barbara, Martha's sister, has recuperated from COVID. I wasn't sure what that word was, so I had to make sure I said that. So praise to that. Ray, still looking for a job. In prayer for your employment. So please continue to be in prayer for Ray. Please be in prayer for my brother-in-law, Eric, as he continues to look for employment. God has a plan. What it is, that's the faith part. So we will continue to be in prayer. Tish and Nick and the Howlett's and many others that are challenged with their health, please be in prayer for those folks. Continue to ask for the doctor's guidance and continued recovery. God knows how that's all going to play out. And let's see, our missionaries. So be in prayer for our missionaries across the board, whether it's Fassel and Carey or Dan and Pat or the Risleys down in Mexico. Please be in prayer for those folks as well. And Miss Annell.
For Jeff and Debbie as they travel to Alabama for Thanksgiving.
All right. Yeah, absolutely. Jeff and Debbie and anybody else any other travelers this... You know, we're not supposed to travel, people. I'm just saying. Just kidding. Please, travel in safety. And I'm Jeff, your health is feeling, your symptoms are better? Symptoms are better.
CT scan came back good.
Okay.
Still not sure exactly what it was, but definitely no kidney stones.
Nope. Oh, well, that's amen to that.
I'm not exactly sure what it was, but I got to follow up in another week.
Okay. Continue to be in prayer for Jeff and his back issues or kidney issues or whatever it actually is. We don't know what it is, but whatever it is, let's be in prayer. Yes, sir.
For those who weren't able to come last Sunday afternoon, it was outstanding.
The Veterans Day ceremony.
And just to give a little info on the, they played the taps, and I looked over, probably 50, 80 yards. As a basketball court, and young guys were up there just playing, and every one of them just stood there.
That's awesome.
That was really
I didn't
awesome.
See that, but
I was impressed.
Wow.
They just stood there and just just stood there and looked at it, and then as soon as it was over, they went right back to their game.
That's great.
But I thought that was really something watching that.
A moment of remembering those that have served. So that we have a great opportunity to remember and to honor those that have served. Come next year, if you didn't get to come this year, we had a bunch of young people out there, played a good round of kickball. That was fun. Social distance kickball. We kept everybody at least a foot and a half apart. So it was a fun time, and it was a nice fundraiser for the youth ministry as well. So thank you to everybody who contributed to that. A couple of announcements. Are any other prayer requests? Yes, ma'am.
Jen and Brian just told me they're going to Galveston.
Okay.
So they're traveling, and we should keep them in our prayers.
Jennifer and Brian are going to Galveston. So over the holiday, Thanksgiving period here, so be in prayer for their safe travels and safe return. Anything else prayer-wise? We have some announcements to make. A couple of announcements. Online and in person, we will be sending college gift cards, Christmas cards to our college folks. I think we have about 60 that we'll be sending. We send them a gift card. Amazon or some sort of a gift card and a Christmas card, just to let them know that Spring Valley Bible Church, as a congregation, Liberty Youth Ministries, are keeping them in their in our prayers, and just to continue to support them in their college work. It's nothing big, but if you are so inclined, we are taking donations for this. We try to send them about $20, $20 to $25, depending on what we actually bring in from a donation standpoint, which then, if you do the math there, when we had 20, it was a little bit of money. Now that we have 60, it's getting bigger. There's a group that have moved on that are out of college. Some of them are married. We are still praying for them. We'll send them cards. Correct me if I'm wrong, Lori. Actually, I'll let you do it. Right, cards. Yes.
We send the gift cards to the college ones, and that's about it.
Right.
But we are still sending cards to some of those that have...
Yes. Miss Phyllis made like 80 cards.
She is amazing.
She is a craft extraordinaire, crafter extraordinaire. And so thank you for all those cards, Miss Phyllis. We got 80 of those. Yes, please sign them. Those that are here, please, on your way out, just say something nice in the cards. Don't say anything mean. You say what you want. But sign the cards. We send those to the kids that are in college. We will send some, not gift cards, but we'll send some to those that are out of college, not with a monetary gift card. We have 60 that are in college at some level or another that we will send gift cards to. So we are taking donations for that. You can give cash or check to Lori or Larry. Don't give it to me, because by the time I get done teaching and get home, I'll forget why you gave it to me. But give it to one of them. I'm kidding. You can give it to me as well. And online, there's a PayPal donation button on our website and the Liberty Youth Ministry website, which you can go to contribute there. Anything else on that, Lori?
Put a note on it if you can on the PayPal thing, or let one of us know that you made the donation, so we can tell Leslie, because she can help us out for
the
account.
Yeah, please identify any of your donations on your check, or tell us if you give us cash, or on the PayPal that it is for the college kids. Liberty Spirit Wear is for sale. Your Christmas gifts are available. They are cool because I was told they were cool by the college people that put them together. So, are the high schoolers and college, our leadership that put these together. They say "In Christ Alone" on them, and then they have the Liberty Youth Ministry logo. Those are for sale for Christmas. They have long sleeve tannish,
long sleeve crew neck sweatshirt, black, or short sleeve kind of tannish color t-shirt.
So,
In Christ Alone.
They're really cool. So please support that. They make great Christmas gifts.
Black long sleeve sweatshirt, black, just a crew neck, or tan, like a beige kind of tan colored t-shirt. So those are the choices.
Now, can you explain a little more Somebody wants to order multiple, but they have to put in the form multiple times. The form, one form is for one.
One form for one item?
For one item only.
Okay, I wasn't aware of that, so let us know if you have any questions or issues.
Yep.
And deadline is December 1st.
December 1st. So that's like Tuesday after Thanksgiving weekend. Cool. Anything else this morning? Okay. Offering, Liberty Youth Ministry donations and offerings, stuff that's going on there. We still need to continue to support financially the church. So our building, our pastor, our outreach, things that are going on there. If you are inclined to provide an offering, a grace gift, you can do that online. Again, if you're online, I'm sure that the link is off to the side there, so Miss Leslie will put that up for us. You can put something in the back in the plate. We don't pass it around, but you have the ability to do that in back. So please, God knows what we need, and God always provides. Sometimes He provides through y'all. In fact, a lot of times He provides through y'all. So continue to support the ministry that we have here. Let's pray together, and then we will jump into the Word of God. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time this morning. We thank You for the ability to come together in the freedom that we still have. We pray for our country. We pray that You will just continue to convict us as a church body, to spread Your Word, to spread the truth of the gospel, to spread the need for repentance and returning and a revival back to You, back to Your Son, for this country, the foundation on which we were built. Father, we just know that whatever it is that happens, it is for Your honor and Your glory. And we lift these prayers up to You across the board because You are in control of history. You are in control of all things. And so we come humbly before You with our prayer requests this morning. Father, we thank You for the opportunity to be able to open Your Word. We thank You for the blessing of all that it teaches us, the knowledge of who we are in Your Son. And Father, as we open the Word this morning, we ask that the Spirit, Your Spirit, will be with us as we start talking through these things this morning in a spirit of thanksgiving, in a spirit of truth, and just help us to understand what it is You want us to know, how You want it to impact our life, and give us the courage, the strength, and the perseverance of faith to apply these things as we move forward. Thank You for all that You do. In Christ's name, amen. Okay. So, we finished 2 Peter chapter 1. We finished that last week, which was great, because now we will move on to 2 Peter chapter 2. But I wanted to spend just a minute, as we jump into 2 Peter chapter 2 here in a second, to kind of go through the flow of how things are going within the book of 2 Peter, or the epistle. And so, in 2 Peter, Peter starts out with encouragement to his followers to grow to Christian maturity, to continue to grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Refresh their memories. He says that several times and uses it again in chapter 2 and chapter 3 here. But he's teaching these things as a refresher to the memories, things that they already knew. And it's very similar to what we saw in 2 Timothy this morning, 2 Timothy 1:6, rekindle, right? As it was being taught this morning, it just made me think about, Peter provides this information. It's not from the standpoint of you didn't already know this. It's from the standpoint of rekindle that flame. Remember these things. Bring them forward to you. Know what your salvation is. Know what Christ did for us. Know what God did for us at our salvation. The 34 things, if you haven't pulled it down from the website, take the opportunity to continue to refresh our minds with the things that God has done for us, to rekindle that flame, that fire inside us to want to obey and to want to follow and to want to learn about what God has in store for us. And the promises that we're given at salvation is the foundation for all of these things. And so he starts with the encouragement to his fellow believers to grow to that Christian maturity, stimulate their thinking. We are partakers of the divine nature. right? We need to reflect the holiness of Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's our calling. I mean, to be saved, and he talks about this in the first chapter, to be saved and not to reflect Christ to the world is a waste. You're not reflecting who you are in Christ, your position in Christ. And so we need to be aware of reflecting that holiness through being moral. Right? We don't spend a lot of time talking about specific sins and going through the list of sins and the do's and don'ts, but the fact is that the Holy Spirit is leading us to moral excellence. That's part of what, to add through our faith, moral excellence and how we display the holiness of Christ and the holiness of God to the world through that moral excellence. We know that there are those, he also makes sure to call out, he knows that there are those that will lead us astray. False teachers, and we're going to spend a good amount of time today talking about that in chapter 2. And we know that the Word of God is truth. That was kind of how we wrapped up the first chapter, was developing that certainty of the Word of God. In this particular case, in the Scriptures, in the Old Testament Scriptures, in the words of the prophets. And then he also declares that from the words of the apostles. And so encouragement, and then he closes out the first chapter with that encouragement and the imminent return of Christ. That's where we're putting our hope. That's where we put our faith. If Christ isn't coming back, and if we're not going to be resurrected, what are we putting our hope in? Nothing. So he constantly is reminding us, and if you look through 1 Peter and 2 Peter, he's constantly reminding us of the coming of Christ. That is where we ultimately will be promoted to being in the glory, in the glorification of Christ, is when he returns. So remain faithful to the continued growth to maturity, for Christ is coming. Be prepared. Be prepared. That's our role. That's what we are to be doing as we live, is being prepared for the moment that Christ returns. We stand before him, not ashamed, but we stand before him waiting for the "well done, my good and faithful servant." That's what we are supposed to be focused on, and that's where we are supposed to be. That's where our mind is centered. That's our foundation in life. And in closing chapter 1, in verse 20, he says, "But know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture becomes a matter of someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God." And so at this point, he's starting to transition to his warning chapter. His warning chapter of false teachers, the things that are out there, and we're gonna. It's interesting. I was trying to figure out how I could, and we'll get there, but how I could put a less negative spin on an hour long lesson on false teachers right before Thanksgiving. So I figured, you know, the Holy Spirit said teach. I'm gonna teach, and we'll let him do the spinning part of it. Okay, so we're just gonna teach what it says. We need to be moved by the Holy Spirit. I mean, the Word of God was certainty. It was absolute. It was truth. And he spent that time teaching and explaining that in the first chapter. And so he's transitioning now to a warning. Make sure you're paying attention to true knowledge. It's not knowledge for knowledge's sake. It's true knowledge. What is truth? And it's not a matter of someone's own interpretation. It's not somebody going, you know, this is what I feel this says. It's what does the Holy Spirit teach? It's written by men, but it was inspired by God. The Word of God was given to us by God. Men wrote it. Men wrote it under the filling of the Spirit. They put their personalities and their styles in it. But the truth is God's Word. It's God's truth. And it's interpreted by the Spirit. Attacking this Bible and opening it and reading it front to back and knowledge and, oh my gosh, let me learn all of this stuff outside of the power of the Spirit. We can't discern and understand the spiritual without the Spirit. Kind of is logical. We can't understand God without the help of God. So it needs to make sure that we are preparing our minds for action in that being prepared through the power of the Spirit to open the Word of God. I love that Pastor Maddox says this all the time. It is the most dangerous thing you can do to open the Word of God. Open this Bible and start to read it outside of the power of the Spirit. So, with that in mind, Let's assume for a second, and if you have not taken the time to ensure that you're filled with the Spirit, please do so now, because we're going to jump into some false teaching. That sounds really weird. Let me see if I can correct that. We're going to jump into what Peter says about false teaching. So chapter 2, if you will move to open to chapter 2 with me, 2 Peter chapter 2. This chapter is a warning about false teachers and those that are leading people astray. You can actually feel, as we read the first couple of verses here, you'll feel the tone of Peter's letter changing as we move into this chapter. He's moving from, remember these things, be exhorted to moral excellence through your faith, do these things, realizing and remembering the promises that we received at salvation. Know these things. It's very encouraging. Now we're moving into and warning. Here you go. So let's read verse 1 through, 1 through 3 here. There were indeed false prophets. But false prophets also appeared among the people, just as there will also be false teachers among you, who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. Many will follow their indecent behaviors, and because of them, the way of the truth will be maligned. And in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Their judgment from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. And if you remember back in the first chapter, 2 Peter 1:16, he said, "For we did not follow cleverly devised tales." This is what he was referring to. And I said, when we went through that, we'll be talking about it in this chapter. So here he's talking about, in chapter 1, reinforced the absolute certainty of the Scriptures, but warns that there will always be those with the intent to deceive. That's the world we live in, right? The angelic conflict is real. And anything Satan can do to deceive, devour, and destroy the body of Christ, he will do it. And he will use others to execute his plan of deception. In John 8:44, it says, "You are of your father the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. Whenever he tells a lie, he speaks from his own nature, because he is a liar and the father of lies." So this is the angelic conflict. This is back to, we know who Satan is. We know that this world is controlled by Satan as part of the angelic conflict, and we know our own personal natures. The enemy is our own nature, the world, and Satan. And he will do anything he can and use any method he can to pull us away from Christ, to pull us away from the truth. And it's interesting, the false teachers often come out of those proclaiming to be part of the body of Christ, claiming to be believers, claiming to be teachers of the truth. It's the same that happened in the false prophets of Israel. There were false prophets coming from the chosen people of God coming out of Israel, and they proclaimed things that were not true. We spend a lot of time when we're teaching the young people, Laura and I, and we often want to make sure, we're constantly talking to them about, if you can't see it in the Bible, don't believe it, right? So as we think about false teachers, you know, when a teacher begins talking about worldly philosophy and picks up his own book, that's my favorite, is when you're watching people on TV and they're like, "And the Bible says, and the Bible says, and the Bible says," and they said, "And I wrote this book." I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with reading a book that somebody wrote that has things about the Bible. There's oftentimes those can be fantastic. But if that's the foundation for what's being taught, warning signs should go off. And that's what we make sure we teach our young people, is anytime we are opening the Bible, anytime we are telling them a doctrine or teaching them an account from the Bible, we make sure that we are going to and having them read it from the Bible. That way they know it's real. It's in there. You know, God helps those who help themselves. Right? No. It's not in the Bible. But it's so true. It's a truism. We have to be really, really careful about what we turn into things that are true in the Bible. And so the same thing is needs to be, you know, it needs to be, we need to be very careful about seeing it in the Bible and not seeing it in somebody else's book. If they can't reconcile the two, then disregard the book and go back to the Bible. God didn't give us a book so that we could write more books. God gave us a Bible because this is the Word of God. And so, I know y'all know these things, but sometimes we get caught up into what the world is saying, and we get really excited in it. Pastor Maddox mentioned it in his email, and the tickling of the ears. Hey, we're just as susceptible to the tickling of the ears as anybody else. We like to feel good about the things that are going on, and when you throw the Bible and wrap the Bible around it, and you tickle the ears and you make people feel good about what the Bible says about certain things, even if it's not true, we all can be susceptible to that. So we need to be cautious. And that's what Peter is talking about here. It's the same thing with movements, right, which are often brought alongside scriptural teachings and begin to pervert the truth. There are movements all over the place that are based on the Bible. It's kind of like when you watch a movie and it says at the very beginning of the movie, based on historical truths, or based on historical events. That doesn't mean it is actually what happened in the historical events. It means based on it. Got to be real careful. We have to be careful. And that's what this entire chapter is about, a warning to the believers to be very careful about the teaching. Being very careful to be filled with the Spirit so that the Spirit can clarify the truth and provide us the warnings going off saying this isn't true. So movements, they start to become the focus instead of the Scripture and the Spirit of God. There are so many movements out there that are good things. And those all of a sudden become the focus. Those become the purpose. Those become what we are after, is being a part of the movement. But when it replaces the Word of God, or when it becomes the thing that's between us and the Word of God, we got a problem. There's nothing wrong with being involved in things in our communities, being involved in things in our society. We're called to be. We're not called to sit in a room and blacken the windows and never talk to anybody. We're called to be out in the world. But we're called, our movement is the call of Christ. And so it's interesting because very seldom are these books. I'm not picking on this particular hymn book. I'm just using it as an example. So let me turn this around. When the books are picked up, or when the movements are started, very seldom are these things started out as just total blatant abominations or blasphemy. It seems to be today a little more common that you can start them out and it's accepted if it's complete blatant. I mean, it's abominations and blasphemy. And it seems to be a little more acceptable in today's society. I guess we've boiled the frog. If y'all know what I'm talking about there. But there used to be a time when Christians really rejected, and I think it's still true today when you get into folks that are going to churches and are studying the Word at some level anyway, that they're going to reject the blatant abominations and the blasphemy. But the real threat really comes down to the small perversions of the truth. It is putting the righteous things ahead of the Word of God. Seems weird to put the righteous things ahead of the Word of God. Taking something that is good, and now it's your focus instead of the Word of God being our focus. We have a problem. We turn things that are good into idols. That's a problem. It's enticing people with the, oh, you can do it mentality. It's the self-help version of the Bible. Hey, become a better person by reading this and doing certain things. That's not the point. It's not a self-help book. It is anything righteous or an abomination that takes our eyes off of Christ and onto the world and onto the flesh. These are the threats that we deal with today. And the outright abominations. And this is why we need to spend time in the Bible ourselves, in the power of the Spirit, so we can recognize the truth and recognize false doctrines when we see it. The believer needs to be able to think from a God-centered worldview in order to combat the man-centered worldview. Think about that for a second. We need to be able to think from a God-centered worldview, not a man-centered worldview. Man-centered worldview has entered the church in a huge way. We're going to go solve everything that's man-centered. Solving everything that the world has to offer today to make the world a better place is a man-centered view. God does call us to do things that are good, but He calls us to do those things as led by the Spirit, led by His Spirit. And so we need to be very careful. We need to be able to think. We need to be able to understand. We need to be able to discern, and we do that through the study of the Word of God, through knowledge, and through the application of that Word through the power of the Spirit. Application of the Word of God is wisdom. That's what we need to be focused on. 2 Peter 2:4, for if God did not spare the angels when they sinned, but cast them into hell and committed them to pits of darkness, held for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but protected Noah, a preacher of righteousness, with seven others, when he brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly, and if he condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah to destruction by reducing them to ashes, having made them an example of what is coming for the ungodly. Whew, there's your pre-Thanksgiving passage, right? I think we should read this right before every Thanksgiving. It's just inspiring. It is, actually. God is the righteous judge, and He will not spare His wrath on the unrighteous. Man, the world is full of people wanting to tell us how much God loves us. And it's true, God loves us. But oh, by the way, God is also righteous. And God has a wrath. And to teach falsities of the Word of God and to lead people away from the truth of the Word of God, you will receive God's wrath. This includes the false teachers and those that follow the false teachers. This whole thing, He did not spare the sinner, He didn't spare the angels who were committed to the depths, the pit of hell. He did not spare the ancient world. He did not spare the unrighteous in any of these. The unrighteous receive the wrath of God. And that's true. That's truth. As much as we love to have the tickling of the ears being taught from every pulpit, from every place that everybody wants to come hear the Word of God, and oh, I want to hear how good, how good, how good, how good. There is a wrath part of this. There is a wrath part of it. This has been true from the prehistoric conflict to today. The fallen angels, the ancient world pre-flood, Sodom and Gomorrah, today in America. It's just a matter of time. And we'll get to the part where God says, Peter says, God is not slow. He just wants to, in delivering, He just wants as many as possible to be delivered. God's justice will be satisfied. We worship a God of love. And sometimes we forget that He is also a God of holiness, righteousness, and justice. We got to make sure that we balance, that all things are in balance with God. He's not just perfect love. He's perfect justice, and He's perfect righteousness, and a whole bunch of other good, perfect stuff. Right? Those two just happen to be... We don't get away with anything. We don't get away with anything. God is to be revered, and we talked about that in 2 Peter 1:5. Respected and even feared. To be the receiver of God's wrath should scare the heck out of every one of us. If we know who He is and we believe in who He is, we do not want to be the receiver of His wrath. We should be aware of that. As we think about the fact that Christ is coming, that should be encouraging and inspiring to us. But there is the flip side of that too. It ought to also scare us to death if we're doing things we're not supposed to be doing. And if you're rescued, moving on into verse 7. And if he rescued righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the perverted conduct of unscrupulous people, for by what he saw and heard that righteous man, while living among them, felt his righteous soul tormented day after day by their lawless deeds, then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from a trial and to keep the unrighteous under punishment for the day of judgment. God rescues the righteous. Y'all, for the believer, death is a rescue. Sometimes we lose sight of that. For those that remain here, it's hard. But for those that are promoted home to be with the Lord, death is a rescue. God rescues the righteous. In this example, Lot was brought out of Sodom before God destroyed it. But it's not always how God operates. Jesus, the ultimate righteousness, was delivered to the cross and rescued from death in his resurrection and ascension, just as we are resurrected and ascended with God after death. A God-centered worldview sees death as the ultimate rescue from the totally depraved world. That's a God-centered view. Man-centered worldview expects God to deliver the righteous to a better human condition. That's a perversion of the truth. I mean, if all you're ever told and all you're ever taught is that God will deliver you to a better circumstance on this earth and a better circumstance on this earth and a better circumstance and a better circumstance, then when it doesn't happen, what happens to your faith? It gets crushed. God does not. The man-centered view is that God will deliver us to a more divine human circumstance. But it's not. That's not the way God works. God can deliver us however God wants to include taking us out of this world face-to-face with Him, face-to-face with His Son. And that is deliverance. This should be a comfort to all believers that we are declared righteous before God and He will deliver the righteous. How awesome is that? That's where, I mean, how exciting. We're running around worried about COVID because, oh my gosh, we might get COVID and die. I'm not saying to go be foolish. There's discerning, there's wisdom, but what are we fearing? We talked about it this morning. Fear? No. If God takes me home because of COVID, hallelujah, I'm home. You know, it seems kind of weird, but that's a God-centered view. And it's hard. And it's hard for those that we leave behind. This doesn't mean that if we become partakers of the carnal nature and put ourselves... Let me back up so I don't lose the flow here. This should be a comfort to believers that we are declared righteous before God and He will deliver the righteous. This is the Thanksgiving message for today. That's the Thanksgiving message. That God will deliver the righteous. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you understand that He died for the sins of the world. He was buried. He was resurrected after 3 days and He ascended into heaven and is sitting at the right hand of the Father. And you believe that? God, in one of His promises at salvation, gives us His righteousness. We are declared righteous before God and God delivers the righteous. That's the Thanksgiving message for today. It's not about the false teachers. The false teachers would tell you otherwise. But let's be clear. This doesn't mean, I don't know why I said that. I hate, but there's just, the let's be clear thing has now just really frustrated me. If you guys have any idea what I'm talking about there. This does not mean that if we become partakers of the carnal nature and put ourselves back into living like the unrighteous that we won't feel the wrath of God experientially. We will. If we're going to live like the unrighteous, we're going to feel it. God is a God of justice. All the sins are paid for. You will never lose your salvation. But trust me, it would not be a fun experience to live life completely in the wrath of God. In our lives, if we act like the unrighteous, we will have the temporal results of the unrighteous. But the eternal results is God's faithfulness. We will not be brought before the great white throne judgment. We will be delivered. Even those that act like the unrighteous in today's world, that are believers, we will be delivered from the great white throne judgment, at which point the unbelievers will be cast out. So the righteous, excuse me, the unrighteous, the unbelievers will be held for eternal judgment at the great white throne and eternal punishment. We don't want to be there. And if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you will not be there, which is, again, our thanksgiving. So, picking up in verse 9, and I know I'm moving through this very quickly because I'm not going to blow all of these out, but I want to get through the false teaching and put some points together here. So, how to identify false teachers. And this is where we pick up in verse 9, and we'll read a good amount here, and then I have some points here. So, in verse 9, then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from a trial and to keep the unrighteous under punishment for the day of judgment, and especially those who indulge the flesh in its corrupt passion and despise authority, reckless, self-centered. They speak abusively of angelic majesties without trembling, whereas angels who are greater in might and power do not bring a demeaning judgment against them before the Lord. But these, like unreasoning animals, born as creatures of instinct to be captured and killed, using abusive speech where they have no knowledge, will, in the destruction of those creatures, also be destroyed. Suffering wrong as the wages of doing wrong, they count it a pleasure to reveal in the daytime. They are stains and blemishes, reveling in their deceptions as they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery that never cease from sin, enticing unstable souls, having hearts trained in greed, accursed children, abandoning the right way, they have gone astray, having followed the way of Balaam, son of Beor, who loved the reward of unrighteousness, but he received a rebuke for his own offense. For a mute donkey speaking with a human voice restrained the insanity of the prophet. These are the springs without water and mist driven by a storm for whom the black darkness has been reserved. For while speaking out arrogant words of no value, they entice by fleshly desires, by indecent behavior, those who barely escape from the ones who live in error, promising them freedom while they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by what anyone is overcome, by this he is enslaved. For if, after they have escaped the defilement of the world by the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and are overcome, the last state has become worse for them than the first. For it would be better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than, having known it, to turn away from the holy commandment handed on to them. It has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to its own vomit, and a sow, after washing, returns to wallowing in the mire. So the tone of Peter's letter changed a little bit from the encouragement of the first chapter to this. I love the end. A dog returns to its own vomit. That's pretty pretty condemning. False teachers secretly introduce destructive behaviors. Why is it so important to learn the Word of God and to study in the power of the Spirit? Because it's small changes, little changes. False teachers introduce destructive behaviors. They deny the truth of the Lord. Sometimes you hear in churches today, God is, I won't say churches, from different religions and different places, and maybe even churches, that God is not really, Christ is not really God. He's just a good guy. Or he elevated himself to the divine. They deny the truth of the Lord. They live ungodly lives, like animals. If you stop and think about some of the things that are being put out into the world today, specifically in America, that we as a people, as Americans, are being asked to accept, it's animalistic. We don't have a choice over whether we're gender this or gender... I'm confused. It's a choice. It absolutely is a choice. We are not animals that don't know what in the world's going on. We have a choice. We get to make choices. They live ungodly lives by instinct and not by truth. They lure believers away with false stories. They're deceivers. They despise authority. That's not happening today, is it? They tell lies without knowledge. That happens every day. Corrupt fellowship within the body of Christ. This is a big one. I mean, think about the divisiveness between the body of Christ. People that are proclaiming themselves to be Christians and very likely are saved, picking up a movement and going out for a cause and spewing pure hatred against Christians who believe something different than their cause. And I'm not talking about which side of the aisle we're talking about here. I'm talking about both sides of the aisle. This isn't a conservative versus a progressive discussion. This is, I have a cause and you disagree, I hate you, and we're both believers. That's horrible. But that's the state that we're in today. We have to be very, very careful about standing firm in what we believe, but not spewing hatred to somebody who doesn't agree. Because that's not what we're called to do. They seduce the unstable. Adultery within the church. It's rampant. Adultery within the church is rampant today. Promises freedom, but delivers slavery to sin. The false teachers are arrogant, and they teach out of greed. These are the things that I'm not going to go through all the line items here with that Peter talked about, but just God's going to put His wrath upon those that are there to destroy and to deceive the body of Christ. And so how do we identify these false teachers? We know the truth is given to us in the Word of God, the study of the Word of God and the filling of the Spirit. In John 16:13, "But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell you what it is yet to come. He will glorify Me," this is Christ speaking, "because it is from Me that He will receive what He will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is Mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from Me what He will make known to you." It's pretty clear. The Word of God as delivered through the power of the Spirit and the understanding. See it in the Bible. How do we identify false teachers? We stay filled with the Spirit. We reference the Bible and study the Bible. And we look for the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, in those that are teaching. Y'all, if somebody's not producing the fruit of the Spirit in any way and they're up there teaching all the things they're supposed to do, I'd be questioning, what in the world are they teaching? Because the Spirit of God coming through a teacher should be very clear. The fruit of the Spirit should be there. No fruit, no Spirit, no truth. Some false teachings that we see today. The Bible is incomplete. That's one that's very common today. Dreams and visions are added, or they are used to reinterpret the Bible. New revelation is given to interpret the Bible in the context of the 21st century. I often wonder how the Bible would have been written if it was written now as opposed to 2,000 years ago. I'm sure the language would have not been nearly as sophisticated. And it probably maybe not have been done in Greek. I don't know. Who knows? So, when folks are standing up in front of the congregation and interpreting their dreams and the visions as reinterpretation of the Bible to fit today's 21st century, man, run. Another false teaching, the denial that God wrote the Bible through the Holy Spirit, inspiring the writing of the authors. That's one. It's not complete. God didn't really write it. It's man's writing. Denying the historical accuracy of the Bible is one that happens a lot today. The world was created in 6 days and God rested on the seventh. Go walk into a high school and proclaim that in one of their history books. I mean, in one of their history classes. That is not what's being taught today. We had a good conversation about that last night. It was quite fun. The flood didn't really happen. Couldn't have happened. The flood couldn't have happened. Science. The Jews weren't really in Egypt. I picked that one out because we saw this really cool patterns of evidence movie or show. It's a documentary kind of thing. It was really good because it actually showed both sides of the argument, whether the Jews were in Egypt or whether they weren't. And there was a couple things that came out of that. One, crossing of the Red Sea. The two is what it's the languages, right, where the original language of how could the Bible have been written in Hebrew. That didn't exist until, well, when you actually do the patterns of evidence, it could have. And it's highly likely as the alternative. But these are the things that are being denied, the historical accuracy of the Bible is being denied today. And more and more and more, that is becoming mainstream. Not just in schools, but in church. They are using the manipulation of interpretation of the Bible to align to the world's view of history. The Bible is literal. It is the Bible. When we begin to question the accuracy and the authorship of the Bible, then to be intellectually honest, we have to question the truth of the Bible. Because the Bible declares itself to be the Word of God, and if we question what's in the Word of God, then we have to question the inerrancy of the Word of God, which then we have to question God. Because God proclaims Himself to be perfect. Man, it's a huge spiral when you start messing with the truth and the historic value of the Word of God. If God can't create the world in a week, then why would we believe He can create a universe? Or why would we believe He can create man? Or why would we believe He can give life to anything? If He can't create the world, if He can't create the earth, if He can't put it all together in the way He says He did it, then why would we believe any of this stuff? And if we don't believe any of this stuff, then we aren't saved. Because we couldn't be saved because Christ couldn't be the Son of God because God doesn't exist. See how this spirals? Then we're in a position of the world. Man's centered view of the world. Lots of things to be thinking about there. Like I said, I'm not going to go into a deep teaching of all of these passages because the point of this from Peter's teaching is to be aware of the false teaching. And then he's going to move on in chapter 3 where he starts moving into the focus of the return of Christ. Christ returning, and that's the focus. Here's the things you need to be doing. He's exhorting them and encouraging them for moral excellence, for perseverance, for continuing to study the Word of God and applying that wisdom, applying that to the life to create wisdom and maturity, for the brotherly love, the love that we have for our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, love across the board, the love of God, agape, all the way through, continue to learn and continue to study and do that in the power of the Spirit because the false teachers will get in there and it will be a mess. And they're out there. They're out there all over the place. The sad part to me is that it's so easily accepted because it tickles the ears. It makes you feel good. It's dangerous. And so what I would like to do as we close to take us out of the false teaching and the I wouldn't say negative because it's just a warning, but to something a little more enthusiastic and inspiring as we close before our Thanksgiving our week, if you would turn with me to Psalm chapter 34. We'll close with a psalm. And so we'll let the Word of God tickle our ears this morning. The Lord delivers the righteous. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. I will boast in the Lord. The humble will hear and be glad. Proclaim the Lord's greatness with me. Let us all exalt His name together. I sought the Lord and He answered me and rescued me from all my fears. Those who look to Him are radiant with joy. Their faces will never be ashamed. This poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him from all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear Him and rescues them. Taste and see the Lord is good. How happy is the person who takes refuge in Him. You who are His holy ones, fear the Lord. For those who fear Him lack nothing. Young lions lack food and go hungry, but those who seek the Lord will not lack any good thing. Come, children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is someone who desires life, loving a long life to enjoy what is good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from deceitful speech. Turn away from evil to do what is good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are open to their cry for help. The face of the Lord is set against those who do what is evil, to remove all memory of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears, and rescues them from all their troubles. The Lord is near the brokenhearted. He saves those crushed in spirit. One who is righteous has many adversities, but the Lord rescues him from them all. He protects all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Evil brings death to the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be punished. The Lord redeems the life of His servants, and all who take refuge in Him will not be punished. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time this morning. We just pray that those that are traveling this week for the Thanksgiving will just have a blessed Thanksgiving. Keep them safe on the roads. Bring them back safe to us. Father, we just pray that this week of Thanksgiving as a country, as a congregation, as the body of Christ, will be focused on You. We'll be focused on what You have done for us through Your Son on the cross. Father, we thank You for all that You do for us. We thank You for Your Son. We thank You for our salvation. And we thank You that You will always deliver us. Father, we thank You for these things in Your Son's precious name. Amen.